The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Sports.
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 So they just sit there and talk about sports?
Man, that was a fun weekend. So much to get to. Let's do this. It's a Monday on the Blitz.
Shall we begin?
Live from the Gal Studios in Houston, Texas. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for a Monday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe. With me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon. A.J. Hoffman, Chocolate Braveheart. Aaron Rabel, the Voldemort. If you want to get in today, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. You can also get on the Facebook page, send a message. If Aaron likes it, he will read it. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Aaron is blitzed, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show. You know the number for that. And if you wish, you can also watch us on the Twitch channel. Just go to ESPN975.com and click on Twitch, or just go to Twitch and click on ESPN975.com. You'll see our smiling faces. And it's a Monday. Hope everybody had an awesome weekend. A little bit of a short show today because we have A&M basketball at 6:30. Is that correct?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, the game's at 7. We do the pregame, so we're out of here at 6:30. So, what's happening, Hoffman?
Sports and stuff, man. Game of the year in college football. I think a lot of people around here are happy with the result. So, now it's... I mean, I guess we'll have to wait till tomorrow to see what the new playoff rankings say, but I'd bet a kid that LSU is going to be number one in those rankings. And
which kid?
Yep, whichever.
Okay.
Yeah, dealer's choice.
Yeah.
But I think the big story is this might be, and I think there's a couple reasons for this. This might be the end of Alabama. And I'm not saying there's not a path for them to get back into the playoff. It just seems like a pretty murky one. And I think the other factor on why Alabama might not make the playoffs at this point is Alabama fatigue. Not just with fans, but with the committee. And I could see them being like, you know what? We've got a chance to give some other teams a shot at this thing. We should probably take that chance because Alabama, it's not like Alabama's going anywhere. And I'll be honest, as much as I love Tua, and I think Alabama's probably got the best group of four receivers that I've seen in I don't even know how long, maybe ever in college football. I mean, they've got four NFL receivers, which is crazy. Their defense is just not good. And you can point to, well, they play an up-tempo offense. At some point, when you've got the kind of players that they've got, that can't always be an excuse. And mind you, kind of the same thing, I'll say the same thing for LSU. What we saw in that game is both those teams can score with damn near anybody. They're both confirmed not very good defensively. And we've seen it before with both of those schools. LSU gave up 38 points to Vanderbilt, who has scored 38 points in the last 4 weeks combined. They've got issues defensively. Alabama, it's been multiple times this season that we've been like, really? The A&M's moving the ball on you like that? Ole Miss is putting up 31 points? I'm not sold that. It's a very good defense. And, you know, to me, it's one of those years where there's enough good teams and Alabama's resume isn't, I mean, unless they just destroy Auburn at Auburn, I'm talking pull their pants down, make an example of them. I don't know that their resume warrants further consideration.
Not so fast, sir.
Okay.
Because I actually decided yesterday, I wrote a thing off the LSU game, kind of, okay, here's what the playoffs look like now.
Okay.
And realistically, can we agree, and I don't care who's one or two out of Ohio State and LSU. I think you can make a case for both. LSU has the best resume.
LSU should be number one. My argument with Barry yesterday, I heard him talking about it, isn't about who should be number one. It's about who's the best team.
Yeah.
I firmly believe Ohio State would beat LSU.
I think it'd be a pretty damn good matchup, but right now I think I'd lean Ohio State, but they just haven't played anybody that you can say, all right. I mean, what is Cincinnati their best win probably?
I mean, that's probably their highest ranked win.
Yeah. I mean, Cincinnati's a good football team.
They beat them 42-0.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Wisconsin came in with they were beating teams by 40 points per game, and they couldn't do anything against that team.
Well, first, a couple of thoughts. For a game of the year, it actually lived up to the billing.
It did.
First time in forever.
And at halftime, it didn't look like it was going to. It looked like it was going to be a boat race. And kudos to Alabama for getting back in the game. I got to give them some credit.
And that's the first time they've been punched in the mouth. It would have been real easy for them to just fold up and say, okay, we're done. But with all that aside, I don't think Alabama is out of this thing by a long shot. And I'll tell you why. All right, we're assuming Ohio State's going to run the table, right?
Yes.
That's going to eliminate, Penn State will now have two losses since they lost on Saturday. That'll eliminate Minnesota.
You can eliminate every team in the Big Ten because none of those teams are even on the same, they're not breathing the same air as Ohio State.
And that's the thing. If Ohio State wins out, those guys are not in the conversation, correct?
Correct.
You grant me that? Clemson's not losing either.
Clemson is not losing. Clemson might be they're in the conversation for best team.
And I think LSU can lose a game, and they're still in.
If they lose to Georgia.
I think if they lose to Georgia, but even if they lose to A&M or Mississippi, which I don't anticipate happening, if they beat Georgia, they're in.
That's a pretty bad loss. Yeah, you're probably right, but man, that'd be an ugly loss.
But I mean,
loss.
Who else would you be able to, any one-loss teams out there, whose resume would compare to theirs?
No one.
I mean, they've got four wins over teams that were in the top 10. So that's, to me, they're...
Yeah, but who you lose to also is taken into account. And I mean, Ole Miss,
but they're not,
A&M wouldn't be a horrible loss. Ole Miss would be a disastrous loss.
Well, I like Ole Miss to cover this week, and we'll get to that later.
That's a different conversation.
But no, the thing is, I don't think they're losing to Ole Miss, but if they did, and we're not even bringing Arkansas up in this conversation.
No,
right?
The Arkansas is, no.
But even if they were to lose that game, if you win the championship over Georgia, now you beat another top 10 team, there's no way they're leaving them out. So I think LSU can go 3-1 here and still make the playoffs.
I tend to agree, yes.
And that
LSU has the most wiggle room at this point because of what they've accomplished so far.
And they've earned it. Now, two losses, forget it. I don't think there's anybody with two losses that's going to be able to make a case.
I don't think so either.
But, okay, so there's three right there. So I think you've got one spot left.
Okay.
And that's basically going to come down to one of the Pac-12 teams, which, assuming they both get through and you have a one-loss Pac-12 champion, Oregon may be more so than Utah, but you could make a case for Alabama over Oregon because if Alabama clocks Auburn, that's the team Oregon lost to.
Yeah.
Oklahoma, with one loss, you'd probably be able to make a case for because you'll have a win over Texas, two wins, a win over Baylor, and then a win over somebody else pretty good.
Yeah, Oklahoma's a fraud, but that's beside the point.
But I think you'd be able to make an argument for them. Beyond that, okay, Georgia beats LSU.
If Georgia beats LSU, they're in.
Yeah, so it's Georgia and LSU both in that case. But beyond that, there's just not really.
There's teams like Baylor and Minnesota who I don't really take seriously as contenders.
But I mean, a one loss Baylor, you're going to put them in over Alabama.
Baylor cannot afford to lose a game at all. Even I don't care if it's by 1 point to Oklahoma in the Big 12 title game.
Right.
Their non-conference schedule is so pathetic that they have no wiggle room.
So basically, Alabama's one of three or four teams for that fourth spot still.
Yes.
And I think that a lot depends on Auburn. I mean, they're going to have to blow Auburn out, I think, because that's really going to be their only signature. That and Aggie are their best wins, right?
And Aggie's a mediocre win at this point.
So, and I think LSU, this is a game that I expect them to win. But if you're ever going to have a letdown after finally beating Alabama, and Ole Miss isn't good, but they're not garbage. I mean, they've hung around against some pretty good teams like Auburn. I mean, LSU should clock them, but I think this is the soft spot for them. And then, like I said, Arkansas is not worth mentioning. And I don't think after what happened last year with A&M, I don't think they're going to go in and play that game and be they're not going to get snuck up on by Aggie this time. So. Then it's just a matter of, okay, if you make it to the SEC championship game, finish 3-0, I think you're in the playoff no matter what.
These are the wins for Ole Miss so far. Ole Miss is 4-6, and you're going, 4-6? They're not that bad. Their wins, Arkansas, worst team in the SEC. Vanderbilt, easily the second worst team in the SEC. Southeast Louisiana and New Mexico State. I mean, they don't even have a top 100 win. I mean, these are just joke wins. There's zero chance Ole Miss can beat LSU.
I don't think they will, but I also think, you know, when you look at, they actually not just look at the wins, though. They hung around against A&M. They only lost by 7. They hung around until late against Missouri. I don't think Missouri's great. They hung around against Auburn. I mean, that was 20-14, so they're not getting blown out.
The only team that boat raced them is the only team with an offense, Alabama.
Yeah.
And LSU's got an offense. They're going to boat race Ole Miss.
I think, I'm going to wait to see that number before I comment, because, but I do believe that if there's going to be a soft spot for them, they were celebrating like they won the national championship.
Yeah.
And that game worries me more than the other two.
My whole point with Alabama is, if, I mean, the committee said time and again, they value conference championships more and more. And Alabama has basically no path to a conference championship now. And again,
but
LSU could possibly lose. Yeah. And if LSU loses and Georgia wins a conference championship, they would still take LSU over Alabama because they won head-to-head.
Yeah, and a better overall resume, no question.
So, but I mean, if Oklahoma loses another game and wins the Big 12 championship, and Utah and Oregon, the winner of that conference, finishes with 2 losses, I can see an argument being made for Alabama. I just don't see that happening. I think when you look at the remaining schedule for some of these, like Oregon, they've got Arizona State and Oregon State left. I don't see them losing. And Utah, and mind you, they will have to play each other for the chance. So only one of them can finish
with one loss. Yeah.
But Utah's last 3: UCLA, Arizona, Colorado. I mean, those are almost, I don't want to say unlosable games, but they're damn near unlosable.
Yeah. Well, what you don't want to happen if you're rooting for a Pac-12 team is you don't want one of them to choke in one of those games, and then the other one winds up losing in the conference championship.
Right.
So they wind up 2 losses. But I think realistically, and Oklahoma, and somebody says Oklahoma's better than Georgia, Auburn, Penn State, Florida.
No, they're not.
No. Did you not watch them the last
Oklahoma's
2 weeks?
Oklahoma's such a phony, phony team.
And I admit they fooled me. I thought they were on par with Ohio State for most of the season.
Oh, no.
The way they were trucking teams, but then, you know, they go in and get hammered by Kansas State. And
they should have lost that game.
They should have lost it. And
they should have lost yesterday. I mean, Iowa State, and I give them credit going for 2, because a lot of people were saying, oh, why would they do that? And I thought it was the right call. If Oklahoma's not not a one-loss team, if they're not about to play Baylor, and we're talking about basically a play-in for the Big 12 championship, there's a PI flag on that 2-point conversion, and Iowa State probably wins the game. So I'm done hearing about how good Oklahoma is. Oklahoma's not that good.
And Kansas State was not a good loss. Sorry. And
they've given up 89 points in the last 2 weeks. 89 points, not against LSU and Alabama, against Kansas State and Iowa State. 89 points. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
you ain't that good.
And the odds of them getting through with just one loss, to me, the way they're playing, I don't know that's going to happen.
I mean, what's their best win? Is it Texas?
Texas, yeah. It's Texas. That's it.
Okay. Oklahoma, to me, they've when they lost to Kansas State, I almost completely wrote them out of that conversation. I'm not – that Oklahoma is probably the one team that if they had one loss and they won their conference – I would put Alabama in ahead of them. A one-loss Alabama is better than a one-loss conference champion Oklahoma.
Yeah, but I think Oklahama would get in over
I think
Alabama
they probably
in that situation.
Would. And now, in here, let me prep all this stuff I've been saying about Alabama won't get in. Do I still think Alabama's one of the 4 best teams in the country? Yeah, probably so. But they won't be one of the 4 most deserving, in my opinion.
Yeah, well, and again, I think it comes down to the fact that their schedule wound up not being that tough this year. And LSU looked terrific in that game. They were ready to play. And I mean, I enjoyed the hell out of that football game. I'm glad for the result because I'm glad to see LSU finally get over the hump with those guys because I'm sick of Alabama.
I mean, a game, again, when you're giving up that many points, you're literally one play away from it being a totally different result. And LSU's now fighting for their lives. So,
yeah, the difference
I don't know that anyone separated themselves as like, oh my God, these guys are way better than the other.
No, but I think the one thing that they did that is a little different than years past is, well, when they got down to crunch time, Joe Burrow made plays.
He did.
And they.
Yeah, Joe Burrow had an awesome game. And my questions about LSU, there's no questions about their offense. Yeah, all of my questions about LSU are, what are they going to do on defense? Like, you can't just assume that you're going to score 45 points a game because it doesn't happen. And trust me, scoring 45 points on Alabama this year isn't some badge of honor.
Yeah.
Someone said, how many points would Ohio State give up to Alabama? I said, not 41. It wouldn't happen.
Yeah.
Or Clemson, for that matter. They wouldn't give up 40-something.
No, I wouldn't think so, although... And again, credit to LSU. They attacked the one part of that defense that was not as good, which was the linebackers. And they had a great game plan. And yeah, and that's coaching, man. I think they'll find some things they can attack in those other teams. But, you know, we'll see that in a month or so. Well, a couple months because it's not until January when we get to the playoffs. All right. Hey, guys, you know what? You looking for something to do tonight? How'd you like to go and how about play a little poker at Lions?
It's a good idea, Fred. Well, what if I want to watch the Monday Night Football game? Well,
guess what? They've got TVs all over the place.
What?
And if you go over there between 5:30 and 7:30, the first 40 cash players, if you check in for the first time that day, how about this? You play for free. And it's only $10 an hour. They got the best deal in the city. And Mr. Lyon and Najib and George, all those guys, they want to take care of their players. And a tournament tonight at 6:30, late registration up until 8:55, so plenty to do at Lyon's Poker Palace.
Yeah, it's a beautiful room. I mean, Fred and I play in Vegas all the time, and Lyon's is just as nice or nicer than most of the rooms in Vegas at this point. It's a beautiful room, televisions everywhere, great food. Follow them on Facebook, Lyon's Poker Palace, to keep up with all of the tournament information, but go by and see it for yourself. 6134 Richmond Avenue in Houston, and at 6134 Richmond for Lyon's Poker Palace.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you this special message.
Yeah? What's up?
You're listening to ESPN 97.5, and we proudly hydrate with Sea Force water.
I'll drink to that.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Brittany says, Saturday was the best day of my life since 2003. We freaking did it. I'm riding this wave wherever it takes us. We need to get our bleep together in the secondary, though. Go Tigers. Yeah, you do, but guess what? You're not going to face four wide receivers like that.
You won't face another offense like that until the playoff.
Yeah,
I mean Georgia's good, but they're not. Their offense isn't what's sparking them. I mean Georgia's like sort of an old school SEC team.
Right.
They've got a quarterback who doesn't mess up. They've got a good running game, and they've got a solid defense. None of the teams they have left on their schedule will provide any threat offensively. Ole Miss, Arkansas, Aggie, there's just nothing there. So to me, it boils down to when they get to the playoff, and you know, it what I assume if they win the SEC and they're the number one seed in the playoff, I assume they'll probably be playing Oregon or Utah. I will say this though, maybe a nightmare matchup for LSU would be Oklahoma. I mean, just because Oklahoma offensively can do things that will give LSU trouble. And then it turns into a, for lack of a better term, a coin flip shootout, which is what basically got played on Saturday. That was, I mean, it could have really gone either way because once you, and really the Texas game was the same way. Once you get into a certain level of point, once you're in the 30, high 30s, 40s, I mean, it could go either way. You know, if you're playing a game in the 40s and you're separated by a touchdown or less, those are coin flip games. And that could happen against Oklahoma. Even though LSU is way better than Oklahoma, I could see that happening.
Albert asked who your top four were. You responded to him, but he said, do you put in Baylor if they somehow went out? I don't see any chance Baylor wins out. I see 0% chance of that. They're a good defensive team, but they should have lost Saturday. A friend of mine, who I'm not going to name him, but his best bet of the entire week was Baylor TCU under 48.
Oh, I tweeted that out. I was like, man, that sucks.
And yeah, and he's completely right. That's just one of those that, you know, Baylor gets lucky to tie it. So even 9-9 going to overtime, you think, okay, this should be safe. Nope.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's where college overtime bites you in the ass. But I felt for him on that. But I just don't see – I can't take Baylor seriously. So
Nor should you.
Yeah, I mean, I just think – well, for one thing, I just – the whole Big 12 is hard to take seriously.
Yeah.
And that's part of the problem. And I thought OU was the class of that conference, and they probably still are. But there are just no teams in there that you look at and say, okay – you know, that's right. It's always that. Well, what about Iowa State? All their losses are close.
I don't care about. Don't tell me about how good your losses are. At some point, tell me like who have you beat?
So, and somebody mentioned Baylor should have lost to Tech on a blown call.
Yeah, yeah. I mean they're as luck boxy as Oklahoma. I mean, it's set, the likelihood that those two teams are playing for the Big 12 title is high, and it's kind of sad. So it tells you what the Big 12 is.
Yeah, although. I mean, Baylor starts to play Texas. I don't know that Baylor's better than Texas. It's at Baylor. They get OU and Texas at home, but does that really matter?
No.
And by the way, somebody says that 12-1 Baylor with a conference championship has a better resume than Alabama.
No, they don't.
They wouldn't. Alabama would have at least have wins over Auburn. And again, that Auburn game with Alabama is going to be one that winds up being a comparable. But Baylor, if you go look at their non-conference schedule and the fact that that they have to luck box into so many wins, that's not going to get them there. 12-1 ain't going to do it. I'm just telling you. If you want Baylor in there, you need him to win out.
Baylor, I don't understand that. I mean, I guess they're undefeated, so that's all people are looking at. But what's Baylor's signature win? They've won every game they've played. What is their signature win? Oklahoma State. If Oklahoma State is your signature win, sorry. And I've got a couple of people saying Oregon should be ranked ahead of Georgia, who I said would be, if I put out my four today, it'd be LSU, Ohio State, Clemson, Georgia. And everyone said, well, Georgia lost to South Carolina. Oregon, they have no impressive wins. They're just like Baylor.
Yeah.
Like I get with Oregon, what they've done so far is they barely lost to Auburn, which is a good team. But
and you'd like to reward them for playing that game too.
The best win Oregon has right now is probably either at Washington or at USC. Both those teams are 6-4. Okay. I mean that's the best win you've got on your resume. I'm not putting you ahead of Georgia. Certainly. Now, if Georgia loses again, it's a different conversation.
Yeah, and I wouldn't be shocked if they did. And I think they will lose in the championship game, but we'll see. All right, we're going to take a quick break. A lot more to get to. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This Veterans Day, ESPN 97.5 says thank you to all who have served and sacrificed. We thank you. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN's your number. If you want to get in, talking a little college football to start the day. Don't worry, we'll get to the pro stuff. And people asking about Joe Burrow and pro prospects and stuff like that. We'll have Lance on today. I'll ask him that.
Yeah.
I'm pretty good at that.
I'm not great at that stuff, but apparently he's picking up steam, certainly.
I think he won the Heisman Saturday.
Almost certainly.
I mean, unless he breaks or something.
Yeah.
But
I mean, lost in that is that Tua played a really good game too. And a lot of people were saying, do you think Alabama should get credit for playing or because Tua wasn't 100%? And to me, Tua wasn't the problem in that game. I mean, if you told me before the game that was Tua's line, I'd say, Bama fan would take that. Tua doesn't play defense. That's what it boils down
to. Yeah, the only time I think it mattered in the game was there was a play near the goal line where ordinarily he takes off for a touchdown and he didn't. But otherwise, the guy was throwing the ball on, and Judy dropped a couple of balls on him, which almost never happens. So, you can't – I mean, the fumble early was bad. The interception before the half was that proved very costly, especially the way the game played. Well, they both proved costly. But beyond that, man, the guy played out of his mind.
So. I think the one guy that would have also been a contender for the Heisman is Chase Young. And I think that...
That's over now.
It's over, which is a tough break for him. But, I mean, with what he'd done so far, it was like, whew, man, you know, it's hard to win as a defensive player. But he was having one of those seasons where you go... You know what?
You can make a case.
Maybe we consider this.
Yeah.
No, that's not going to happen. So I not only did Joe Burrow distance himself from Tua, I mean, he's also basically lost the next biggest competition to me. I mean, I guess maybe there'll be people who will still make an argument for Jalen Hurts, but again, I think people will eventually figure out that this team is not they're not that good.
Burrow's completing almost 80% of his passes.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just silly.
Well, I mean, people will question his because that offense is everything is underneath, everything short routes and yards after catch. But that's the same thing that Alabama is.
Yeah.
For the most part. And Alabama's not popping big plays. They're doing the same thing LSU does. They're throwing underneath and letting their receivers do work.
And before we move on from that game, I mean, don't want to ignore how both running backs played in that game.
Yeah,
so they were both terrific, and both running and catching the ball. So that just.
But who was the defensive player that stood out to you?
Well, the thing is, there's talent on both of those defenses, but that isn't necessarily translating into good play.
Right.
And I think in LSU's case, they've got some really good guys in the secondary, but they couldn't match up with Alabama's receivers and. I thought Stingley got beat on some plays. He's really good, but he's also a freshman. Delpit looked hurt out there to me because he's better than that. But doesn't matter.
Yeah, and boy, I'll tell you what's costly again for Alabama is special teams. Yeah. I mean, kicking problems. Their punter just drops the ball.
I mean, it was a perfect snap. I don't know what the hell that
was.
But then they got a punt return for a touchdown too. So
yeah.
C. Spark says, I was at a wedding with a large portion of Alabama fans. Those reactions were the most beautiful thing that day, not the bride. All right. 713-780-3776 is your number if you want to get in. Can we get a little dust in the wind for Chad Morris?
Oh.
Finally.
Yeah.
Play the audio.
I'll tell you who absolutely should be next is Chad Morris. We kind of forget, and Arkansas is not to be mistaken for a program the same level of Florida State, but Arkansas is a program that's got deep pockets, deeper than most people probably understand. They got Walmart money supporting that program. Right. And Chad Morris
They've been really competitive for a long time up until the last few years, actually.
Chad Morris is in way over his head. Was he good for the SMU job? Yeah. You're there. You're winning Frisco Bowls, right? Or you're going to a Frisco Bowl left before the bowl game. But you get to Arkansas, and it's like, hey, we're giving you a lot of money. You're in year two, almost through year two, and you haven't won a conference game yet. That's not going to get it done. I'm Arkansas, I'm getting his ass out of there. That was on Friday?
Yeah. Friday at 5:40.
See, I know things. I know what's going on.
Well... Did you know Western Kentucky was going to kick their ass at home?
Yes.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I didn't think it would go over. I thought it would be an ass kicking under the number, but you know, Western Kentucky scored too much, which, by the way, I should have just played Army. I should have just kept fading UMass.
Yeah, I went 0-3 on colleges, and all three of them were close, tough beats. But I went 2-0 on the NFL yesterday. I had two games that I loved, and I hit them both. So.
Army was still, like, basically trying to run up the score late in the game, up by, like, 40-something points. They could have taken knees. They're like, nah, we're getting this. So, yeah. Fade UMass continues to be the strongest play on the board.
Well, we'll have Akron back this week.
That's right.
To pick on. So there's that. But we were talking off air. I think we both hit our plays from the contest.
We did.
I don't think Fezzik
and Brad did not. RJ TBD.
Yeah, he's got tonight's game.
Yeah.
So somebody says St. Patrick says the temperature's dropped 19 degrees since you started the segment. What the hell?
Yeah, my wife texted me and said it's getting dark. Like, it's the wind's blowing in. It's going to get chilly tonight.
Well, it's about time. It's better than that 105-degree crap we had to deal with during the summer.
Did you see Eric Warner sent me this today? Our friend from Carbach, who's still sending me football-related musings while he's in Europe. I think he's in maybe Munich right now. The numbers for Lamar Jackson through 16 starts.
Oh, yeah. I saw somebody tweet this out earlier.
Oh, boy. And I'll be honest. I was the biggest Lamar Jackson doubter because I said the guy is just too inaccurate of a passer to make it in the NFL. I stand by the fact that he's a ridiculously inaccurate passer. It turns out it doesn't matter. And the Ravens, and kudos, and I always talk about Harbaugh being maybe the most underrated coach in the NFL. They were like, okay, let's just, if he's so inaccurate, let's just not make him throw the ball down the field. And they took away the difficult throws, which, you know, maybe someday they add stuff in and make things, you know, they open up the playbook a little bit for him, but they've used him perfectly. Through 16 starts, Lamar Jackson has 13 wins. Patrick Mahomes had 12. Through 16 starts, Lamar Jackson has 1,258 rushing yards. That's 22 more than LaDainian Tomlinson had in his first 16 games. Passer rating, first 16 starts, 94.4. Tom Brady's first 16 starts, 90.1. Yards per attempt, 7.6 for Lamar Jackson. 7.5 for Aaron Rodgers. And completion percentage. This one blows my mind because, like I said, he's an inaccurate passer. They found a way for it to not matter. 63%. Drew Brees, 61%. Lamar Jackson is having a phenomenal season and is well worthy of discussion as MVP. And I'm still not totally sold on him long term. But right now, he is a problem for teams. They have not figured him out yet.
I'm really excited for plenty of time to talk about it, but the fact that you get him against Deshaun Watson Sunday.
Oh, boy.
I mean, that's must-see TV, even if you're not a fan of the Texans. That's going to be awesome. But, yeah, he's – well, and the thing is, and you watched him a lot in college, as I did, you could see the arm was there. It's just a matter of –
oh, he has a great arm.
Yeah, they just had to, you know, fix some things mechanically and then make the game easy for him with the throws that he does. And
because at Louisville, he was like, they were asking him to be, you know, basically like he was, they had his guys running deep routes and he's overthrowing guys by 15 yards. And you're like, what is going on? How inaccurate can he be? And I'm curious to get Lance's thoughts on what he thought of Lamar coming in, but they've just taken that stuff away from him. They're like, okay, well, you're not good at that. Okay. Don't do it. Let's do all this stuff that you're great at. And he's doing great at it.
And the fact that he's so mobile and so able to run opens up some of those deep balls, too. And he doesn't have to be as accurate. When you got a guy like Hollywood Brown who can run under it when you throw it deep. And, you know, he's just been – I thought he'd be pretty good. I didn't think he'd be this. I'm not sure anybody thought he'd be this.
I mean, I sure didn't. Well, if anybody did, they would have taken him before, what, 30, 31, 32? When did the Ravens jump up and get him?
All right. Yeah, I think it was like 32. Yeah. Quick break. We will get some phone calls when we come back. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Shopping.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Happy Monday. And for those of you who keep texting, trying to tell me the SEC is overrated and... Listen,
no, SEC is still pretty good compared to all the other...
Well, basically, if you're saying that, you're a fan of one of the other crappy conferences, or your team's in one of those conferences. But here's the thing. Go look at the NFL draft and see who gets picked, which conference has the most guys picked, which conference has the most guys in the first round, and that's the end of your argument. Because the best players get drafted, the best players are playing in the SEC because they get more drafted than anybody else. So, sorry. Let's want to try some calls here.
Why not? What's that say, Ron? Ryan?
Hello. Yeah.
Hey, sports.
Oh, what's up, man? So I was just going to call and ask if the Panthers do somehow sneak into the playoffs. Do you think Cam Newton comes back healthy and he starts? And also, are we taking the 49ers on the spread tonight?
My guess is if Carolina makes the playoffs, they're just going to roll with what got them there.
Yeah, I would agree. If they're good enough to get in, then it's probably because Allen played well enough. So I don't anticipate them bringing Cam back.
And I'm not touching the game tonight. I would have liked the over. The number's gotten basically too high for me to play anymore. But
RJ loves the 49ers.
RJ likes the 49ers. My lean was actually to the other side.
Yeah,
so
me too. So all right, Jeff.
Sports, guys.
Sports, Jeffrey.
I had a question about Super Bowl futures on odds to win. For some reason, the Ravens are plus 700 on my bookie, and the Chiefs are plus 1,000, and the Texans are plus 2,500, and then the Patriots are plus 275. Do you think there's a really easy way to make money hedging by putting $2,000 on the Chiefs, for instance, $3,000 on the Ravens, and then $2,000 on the Texans, and putting like $10,000 on the Patriots, and then come Super Bowl time hedging the other side of the NFC? I want to get y'all's opinion on that.
It sounds like you don't really know who you like. I would say no. Yeah. I would say no, you're spreading yourself too thin there, and there's too many variables, especially in the AFC where, God, who? I mean, have the Chiefs done anything to make you think that they're good? I mean, imagine the Chiefs keep going this way and miss the playoffs, which sounds crazy, but it could happen. I do think you've got a small pool of teams that could actually do something in the AFC, but are we? I mean, the Colts lose one game with a backup quarterback. Are we now writing them off totally? I don't know if that's right either. I mean, they just beat the Texans 2 weeks ago. So I would say no, but also I would say no because if you gave me NFC or AFC straight up right now, at even money, I'll take the NFC without even hesitating.
I probably would too.
I just think they're way better.
Yeah, and again, when you're spreading that many bets out for too short of prices, you're really betting against yourself, and it doesn't really make a lot of sense. It only makes sense if you're going to make multiple bets like that, if you've got teams that are all 15 to 1 that you like, or that are good double-digit teams, and you feel like you got a shot with those. But otherwise, I mean, it doesn't really make a ton of sense. Jesse says, tell me how this works. Yesterday, I saw a tattooed 5'6 woman pressure washing her driveway while breastfeeding a 4-year-old kid, boob fully out, wand in one hand, child in the other. Am I losing my mind? That's pretty redneck.
Yeah.
So, let's squeeze in one more. Jason.
Hello, Jason.
Hey, speaking of redneck, I'm an Arkansas Razorback fan, but I'm a realistic one, actually.
Redneck
when
Rutgers.
Chad Morris was hired.
I coined that term this week.
And they said, give him time. No, look what he did at SMU. He was terrible. You know, we've become the University of Houston of the Southeast Conference is what we've become. you know, we'll have a one good year, two good years, and then that's it. I just don't understand it. We don't belong in the SEC. We need a junior SEC division, and teams like U of H and, you know, A&M, Corpus Christi can all join us and have one big happy league to ourselves. That's all I have to say.
Yeah, Arkansas. I mean, just Arkansas hoops is all right still.
Yeah,
I mean,
you got that going that. For you.
But yeah, your football program is really embarrassing. Redneck Rutgers, I called them this week. I think that's gonna stick.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Lamont says, are you looking at how many passes Lamar's actually attempting a game? That percentage bleep is trash. This past week he attempted 17 freaking passes. Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. They're using him the way that he needs to be used, because if you have him throwing 40 times a game, there's almost zero chance they're going to win. But also consider that they were up in that game basically it seemed like they were up double digits 5 minutes into the game. What's the point of throwing it? The Bengals weren't stopping him running.
It's hard to look at the Bengals and routing them and say, you know, wow, this was impressive, just like when Deshaun tore up the Falcons. But, I mean, you don't need to throw the ball that much. Here's Lance's thing on him. It says, evaluating Jackson against the NFL standards for the position will cause him to come up short. However, he has rare speed and athleticism and can single-handedly win games. His accuracy is clearly spotty, and teams must decide the level of accuracy they're willing to live with relative to his ability to create explosive plays. He may need to operate in an offense ready to integrate RPOs along with heavy play action. Like Deshaun Watson in 2017, Jackson has the ability to counter mental mistakes and turnovers with a high number of explosive touchdown-making plays. He has star potential, but his success will rely heavily upon his ability to stay healthy. Yep. So, yeah, not a terrible review.
I saw an article here on SB Nation called, "Did Your NFL Team Mess Up by Not Drafting Lamar Jackson?" And they basically look back at the 2018 draft, and they say, should your team have taken Lamar Jackson instead of who they took? And the Browns are number one. They say no. Theoretically, they'd be better off with Jackson and without having to face him twice a year, but you know the Browns would have ruined him.
Well, that's the thing. It depends. I think he landed in the perfect spot, just like I think Patrick Mahomes landed in the perfect spot for him to be successful, and that's a big part of it. If he'd have gone to the Dolphins,
yeah,
you know, who knows? They may not have run the offense. Harbaugh did a great job of adjusting his offense, saying, okay, this is the talent that he is. This is what we're going to play to his strengths. And, you know, and he's done fantastic.
Yeah.
So.
The Texans didn't have a draft pick in the 2018. So.
Well, they could have traded up.
But he said, as the four teams that didn't have a first-round pick, the Texans know they're set with Deshaun Watson.
I think that's fair.
Yeah.
All right, one more. Corey, go.
Sports, y'all.
Sports to you.
So as a big Ohio State fan, Big Ten fan, I do agree that the SEC is the best conference in NCAA football. So, and I believe that, but here's one argument that I've heard that is very flimsy that I want your opinion on. Is it because the Big Ten keeps eating their own when it comes to the power standards? Like, you have a bunch of one team or one loss teams in the Big Ten that keep kind of eating their own. Do you think that even plays in, or is just the SEC just that freaking fantastic?
Well, I mean,
I'll hang up and listen.
I don't think the SEC is necessarily better than they've been in past years. And honestly, I'd argue maybe they're weaker than they've been in past years. The Big Ten, I mean, every conference sort of quote-unquote eats themselves.
Yeah, so is the SEC. I mean, you just had two teams in the top three play each other.
Yeah.
That's pretty flimsy.
I just think that, you know, the reason why the Big Ten's not as good, well, I guess a simple answer would be quarterback play. I mean, look at the quarterbacks in the SEC right now and look at the quarterbacks in the Big Ten, and the only one that's worth a damn in the Big Ten is running it up at Ohio State.
And was it an SEC school last year?
Right. So,
but no, and that's not to say Ohio State's not the best team in the country. It's just, you know,
The best team doesn't have to be the best team from the best conference.
Exactly.
I'll tell you what, the ACC is trash, and I still fully believe Clemson is as good, if not better, than Ohio State or LSU. I think they're right there in that conversation. And everybody's so scared off of Clemson because they played a close game. on the road. They played a close game, and it's like, oh, they're not that good. The last 4 or 5 weeks has been a world tour of just taking a dump on people. Offense, defense, they're doing everything.
And they had a lot of young guys that, especially on that defensive line, that had to figure things out. And guess what? They have. I mean, there's a lot of talent there, but they were, you know, new starters there.
Well, and also, guess what Clemson has that Ohio State and LSU don't have? Dabo Swinney.
Yeah.
I mean, no offense to Ryan Day and Ed Orgeron, but they're no Dabo. So, and honestly, I mean, is everybody was like, oh, Trevor Lawrence was supposed to be a high. I think that's what it is with Clemson, because Trevor Lawrence isn't a Heisman candidate. He was supposed to be, and he's not. It's like, oh, well, how can they be good? Dude, they're still very, very good. Very good. All right. I got to tell you about my computer career, and I'll tell you about Anna, who back in May was working at Walmart, and she heard a commercial on the radio that changed her life. And I'm not one to toot my own horn, but I'm pretty sure that was me that she heard. And she said, you know what? I'm going to do it. I'm going to go to my computer career. Even though she had no IT experience, she did it. And guess what? 4 months later, she started her IT career, hired by a My Computer Career graduate. How about that? Guys, go to mycomputercareer.edu, take their free career evaluation today, and you could start your new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months, even with no experience or training, because helping people start an IT career from scratch is what they do. And you'll attend classes on campus or live online just twice a week, and you're going to need everything you need. After that, they're going to help you get hired because they work with employers that hire their students. They're nationally accredited. Financial aid is available for those who qualify, including the GI Bill. Classes start soon. Go take that free career evaluation today. It's not rocket science, guys. It's My Computer Career. MyComputerCareer.edu.
I get those goosebumps every time, yeah, when you're not around, when you throw that turtle's higher.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.